Hey, sweetie.
I'll pull it to you.
Oh, no.
You know, that's what it is. It's basketball. It's not a soft sport.
I'm going to be a man, and if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. This man just gave me a job. I'm not signing that shit.
There's a lot I got to say, but I ain't going to do it here because it's free to air. I ain't going to curse.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. I'm joined by Andrew Canyon. Say hello, Andrew.
G'day, Joe. How you doing? I'm so happy to be here and talking basketball.
You got plenty of time now because Andrew's in Perth. I'm in Sydney. We do this remotely. So Andrew's just sadly gone into the five-day lockdown, for better or worse.
Yeah, I might just do a five-day podcast. Why don't I just run a live stream? I'll just talk.
Just do that. Webcam in the bedroom. Before we jump into it, still got copies of Marvelous, links in the description, Patreon in the description, Twitter handles, all that BS. Is there anything else I normally gab on about? Anything I've done everything?
No, you did the Patreon. That's the important one. Get the money.
Oh, Twitch. Yep.
Twitch.
We forgot this week, or we just sort of schedules didn't work out. Schedules. Talk about schedules. Jeez. We're going to hopefully get one out this week or do one. Follow the Twitters. We'll be on there and give you as much notice as we possibly can.
Yeah, we have fun doing them. So, yeah, twitch.tv/MBLPP. Easy. Rolls off the tongue.
It rolls off the tongue. Works well. We have a lot of fun in the chat. That's great. And it informs our questions going into the press conference. I'd say most of our questions are from there and Twitter. And we go from there. We're going to go through every game of the round. We're going to go in reverse order. So we're going to start with, well, we would have started with Perth, New Zealand, but that was postponed or cancelled. We're going to go back Melbourne, the throwdown, back through the Sunshine Stoush, all the way back to the start, if you can remember those games. Ready to get started, Andrew?
Yeah, and look, that's pretty much the reason why we're talking in reverse order. We're not trying to be clever or anything here. We're just being friendly to our own memories. We're looking at it going like, geez, Brisbane, Sydney, that seemed a long time ago. Can you remember it? No, but I can remember Melbourne, Southeast Melbourne earlier today. So let's do that one.
Let's start there. The throwdown, Melbourne, Southeast Melbourne in Bendigo, 96-90, Melbourne winning this one.
Stadium looked nice, except for the nets. Those nets that sort of hang on to the ball for just a bit too long, and you're waiting for that ball to pop out so you can inbound it. Got to fix that. But the stadium itself looked good.
Yeah, it looked like fun. I actually really like the color scheme. I was actually watching a game, the Brooklyn Nets, with their gray court, and this was a huge upgrade. So Bendigo, you're doing well. So what we're doing is we basically go through the games, make a few dot points as we go along. My first dot point, Andrew, is I've got this one. The score at the end of, I think, the third quarter was 66-54 in favor of Melbourne, right? 12-point lead to United.
Yeah.
It should have been 63-57, and it should have been because Glidden missed that wide-open three. He was naked, and that would have taken it down to 63-57, a 6-point game instead of a 12-point game. It was there that the game was lost, and I hate to be that guy who's like, you know, but, you know, we take Occam's razor to this stuff. And I feel like that was the moment, all the timing, all the feel, the momentum, the quarter was coming. That was the one they needed. And there it was, Cam Glidden wide open and he missed it. Do you remember it?
Yeah, I do. Cam Glidden's just, I expect him to miss at this point. And when he hits, it's a surprise. Wow. He's hopeless. Like, really.
Strong words on the Twitter. I think the hopeless rubbish came out. It was harsh. And listen, Voltaire.
It's nothing personal, Cam Glidden. You might be a wonderful dude, but you're just not performing on the court. And anybody else, I don't know, like he doesn't strike me as a guy that has a huge reputation, but obviously he's played for the Boomers, you know. So this is a Boomers quality player, right? If that's all you're getting from a Boomer, like seriously, you've got to look at it and think, something's not working here.
And also the fact that came from Brisbane, and the whole thing in Brisbane, the whole time it was they've recruited over the top of him. So I think, is Mike Beecroft the general manager over there? Or no, it's...
In Brisbane?
Yeah, in Brisbane. Who's the general?
Oh, I can't remember.
Clark. Richard Clark, isn't it?
Could be.
I think so. Anyway, but it was, they recruited over the top of Tarangi and Glidden. It's Lamanis' fault. He's not working him in. Well, that storyline just isn't holding water. You know, Glidden's getting huge minutes and it's not happening. And I just want to bring you a stat here. Glidden and Tarangi combined for 11 points, 4 of 15 from the field, 0 free throw attempts. And we kind of had this question amongst us, like, when do you pull the pin on one or both of them? And if you do pull the pin, what do you do?
Yeah, well, I think because the only way I would say that either of those guys are contributing at the moment is the defensive end. I mean, they're still solid, reasonably solid defensively. They're not absolute demons, but they do okay. And that's probably what's keeping them on the court ahead of Stevens, for instance. But
they seem down on Stevens, or Mitchell seems very down on Stevens. And at this point, you have to experiment.
I think they need, sorry to cut you off. I just think they might need to go small, and you put Kiefer Sykes and Kyle Adnam on the court at the same time and just see how that goes. Because Adnam's playing great. Sykes is sort of the guy carrying the team. And maybe that's just what you do. You just junk it up with some weird lineups and see if you can make it work.
I think the other name as well who was injured is Adam Gibson. So that sort of Gibson in certainly late as well. Like I think you're closing games. I think your closing team is Sykes, Adnam or Gibson, depending if he's there. I think you still put Glidden out on the floor. I just don't think you can have both of those guys at this point. We're not even quarter way through the year, but that's the trend. And then with Creek and Wetzel or Moore, depending if he's fouled out. Changing tact off these two, or is that the last we want to talk about Glidden?
What's there to say? But the guy's getting too many minutes for the amount of return you're getting from him. It's a bad investment at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think he himself could deny that. Ben Moore, the fouls,
He keeps getting talked up, doesn't he? As like the guys love him and he's a really good performer and he'll come good, but he's just foul prone and he's not contributing enough. You know, they got too many passengers on this team.
And I feel like he's at a spot where they need it so badly because you can tell like Wetzel's got something, he's good. But it's like, how many minutes can he give you? And the tandem's just not right. You can feel like Landau put his foot on the neck of this team. I felt he was, even though Jack White had better numbers, I thought Landau was the guy who just, when a bucket was needed, he got it and it was a high percentage dunk, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
That's where they're missing Pinot. You know, they need him back.
You know, you forget that name. Yeah, he would have helped. Changing tack to United.
Yeah.
Scotty Hobson. 24 minutes, 0 points, 0 of 8 on the season. He's averaging 4 points per game, 6 of 31, 19%. How do you explain it, Andrew?
They're Cam Glidden-like numbers, aren't they?
they're worse than Glidden. Glidden's a superstar compared to these numbers. Jeez.
What's going on? Yeah, I put on Twitter today, they've been forgetting to put him on charge before the games. You know, he's running on a flat battery. He looks ordinary and just a bit lost. And then I think, it's the typical things as well. Then when he does get the ball, I noticed a few times today, it just seems like he was forcing it. You know, it's like he's aware that he isn't contributing. So he tries to do too much with the ball, bad jump shot or something. So it's just that that compounds. And because you've shot a bad shot, it's likely to miss. And then it's a feedback loop. He just needs to go back to fundamentals, I think, and try and, work the simple things. But to be fair, I reckon Vickerman and Melbourne need to help him out a little. Run some stuff for him.
This is what I was going to say. And he just doesn't feel the leather like he did in New Zealand, where that ball kind of stuck with him a bit. And he had a few dribbles to kind of set himself. I just think what we're seeing now is the second season in a row where the United are kind of not getting the production from their imports you would expect, or not having the easy transition for their imports. And to me, this is just a simple case of like, where do you apportion blame if there is any to be apportioned? Are you thinking Hobson's out of shape or injured or just a form slump? Because I kind of push the blame a little bit on Melbourne. I'm like, you bring in this guy, he's a bucket getter, he's ready for the season. I don't think there's any injury. I don't think there's any conditioning issues like with other players in the league right now. Because this is Scotty Hobson, right?
Yeah.
He gets off, he's a basketball scoring merc. He gets off the plane in Beirut, he's ready to go that night and get 20. I do not believe he's sort of regressed or taken a step back. I don't buy it. So what do you apportion blame anywhere? If so, where?
Yeah, I would say I agree with you. He can get it done. I mean, he is in a funk at the moment. I don't think you can deny that. But they need to run some sets for him. So I think I'm apportioning blame towards the Melbourne system/Vickerman. They just don't seem to, I mean, I think what if, you know, and I'm sort of very familiar with Perth, and I sort of imagine what would the Wildcats do if they had a, if they had a Hobson on the team. Brilliant. I wonder if they can trade for him right now. I think they'd take him. But they would be, you know, they'd be running stagger screens for him. They'd be getting him working in. They'd encourage him to drive an attack. I just don't see that coming from United. I don't see the other players.
Well, we saw it with Melo Trimble early last year.
Yeah.
It's the same story. It's the same bedtime story. I know the ending on this. Unless they have an injury or if something happens, this is going to persist where you bring in an import and you tell him to change his game. Recruit differently would be my thought on this. And I think it's also a case of you kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, Peter is Hobson and you're kind of taking away his touches because, you know, Golding, McCarron, Illy, White, Lando, they seem to be the United priorities. But let me tell you, you're not winning in the finals without Scotty Hobson. You're not getting through Perth. No. You need his late game scoring and his ability to get to the rack. No one else can really get a score at the rack for United unless it's Lando on a lob, but the actual drive to the hole. So I'm not worried about United. I'm still like, let's wait and see on this.
This is the problem with a deep team. And they only beat South East Melbourne by 6 points. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
And that Jack White, I got to shout out Jack White because he was sensational. He was just doing a bit of everything. Defensively, often, you know, he's blocking shots, grabbing boards. Then he came down the other end, he's hitting threes, taking it inside with just so much confidence. Really nice to see.
I was about to say, I think Cam Oliver should start watching tape of Jock Landau. We'll talk about Cairns in a second, but Landau sets a hard pick and he rolls to the very front of the rim as fast as he can. He does it every single time. And it's not particularly, you know, transcendent basketball. How are they doing this? Like, it's just real simple stuff and it's working really well for him and he's good.
Yep.
Anything else from this game? We want to move on.
I've got a really important stat from this game. Ooh. I saw Joe Lualuchul. I saw him. I saw him pass the basketball. Yeah. He was bringing it up the court. He had ball handling duties for a play. He carried up the court. He looked to explore. He went down to sort of one of the corners, thought about attacking the rim, decided there was nothing there, and reluctantly handed it off.
Okay, now that you've brought up a chill. Real GM, I went and looked at his advanced stats. He is the soaring leader in usage percentage for the United. He's at 37%. The next nearest is Landau at 23%. Effective field goal percentage, which is like, you know, how well you actually shoot. He is ninth at 40%. Hobson's at 28%. Wow. Joel Achul likes to shoot it. You were having a nickname for this guy. What was it?
Yeah, I was working. I was calling him Mr. Terminal, just because he's the terminal point of the offense. Once the ball goes into him, that's it. You know what? Everybody on the scout, you know the shot's going up.
I was saying to you, it's definitely JLA. It's not pass LA. When he gets it, it's going to be a J. It's going to be a J. That is a good stat. That's Lualuchul. That can't continue. Anyway, we asked Vickerman about that in the presses. Happy to go on to Adelaide, Sydney?
Yep.
Adelaide winning this one 85-80. Were you surprised? Because we don't like Adelaide. How'd they win?
No, I got to give credit to Adelaide. They're showing a lot of improvement.
There's plenty to improve upon. Jeez.
And even like I was bashing Connor Henry like crazy at the beginning. His coaching,
in other words, junk coach was thrown out in the public forum.
Now I'm not totally rescinding my comments.
No,
but I think it seems like he's coming to terms with the team a little bit. His rotations seem to be a bit more steady. I think he's starting to find. I think he's still struggling with when to play Giddy versus Sloan. And how much rope.
And in his defense, tough question.
Yeah. But he's got Humphreys and DJ just humming. Those guys. Oh,
Humphreys in particular.
Yep.
Is Humphreys the MVP candidate, number one candidate right now?
Be hard to find somebody playing better, wouldn't it?
Looking at Melbourne, don't have anyone who's maybe better than him.
Sykes is okay, but he's not.
Law. Someone from the Hawks maybe, like Tyler Harvey's a good option. But it's Humphreys right now.
Yeah. He's just doing it all. It's at both ends, you know?
Oh, he's fantastic. And blocking shots. I didn't know he had this, but here's one thing I'll say about Adelaide. And we've got a few Adelaide fans who listen. You haven't played on the road yet, okay? and you've played Sydney, who have been injured. You've beaten Southeast Melbourne, got smacked by Melbourne.
Got lucky against New Zealand.
Well, New Zealand out of form. So let's see Perth and Perth. Let's see, you know, another one against Melbourne. Let's see one against Brisbane, like a profession. They are a professional outfit, teams like that.
Yep.
Even a Cairns, who have a greater talent on paper. You know, let's just see. I want to see what this Adelaide 36ers, how they respond to getting punched in the mouth, you know? Things are flying high. Everything's great. But when you lose a bad one, let's see how they respond. Yep. That is key for me.
But you can only beat who's on the court in front of you, right? And they've done, you know, they've beaten some teams. They've been beating themselves. But I just think they're better than what I expected them to be. And
Well, we picked them for dead last. We said that's a lock, and it's certainly not looking that way.
No, maybe Cairns is going to take that. We'll get to them.
Going the other side of the coin, Sydney. They can't score. I've got a stat here. They've scored over 90 points once, and it's their only win. All the others are in the 80s. Not enough points.
No, it isn't.
They can't score, and that's a matter of injury, but it's also a matter of their rotation and their personnel. And the way they choose to play their personnel, I think.
Yeah, well, they're still got the sort of the crazy sub patterns happening.
I have to ask, Vasiljevic, when he hit his 12th point in the first quarter, did he ask to come out of the game? I kind of missed this in the broadcast. I know he asked to come out at one point in the game. Was it in that first quarter, or do you not know?
I didn't see him ask. They did comment in the commentary later on that he did ask. So, you know, well, fair enough if he did. But wow, if he did.
Don't think it was that first quarter when he was hot. I don't think he asked to come out at that point. I could be wrong on that. But
I don't know what sort of like groupthink team mentality they have here, but if you've scored 12 points in a quarter, don't ask to sub out. Come on.
And just hit a shot. Yeah,
you look like you've got enough fitness there to keep going for another minute or two. So. You would hope so. So I think that's ridiculous. I think if you're playing, and he was playing great.
And, that was fantastic.
And when he came back, really he wasn't the same player. He picked it up again in like the fourth quarter, I think. But now he really lost his as Dwayne would say, he lost his mojo.
Mojo is one that is definitely going to think. Well, Adam Ford playing this kid Galloway 15 minutes, and bless him, he just was a donut across the board. I think he had a rebound.
Yeah,
15 minutes, and it's just paint by numbers stuff again with this team where, oh, Didi's out. Oh, okay, this guy plays the same position. We'll just put him in. Instead of going, all right, we've got a 15-minute deficit in the rotation. Let's give, five extra minutes to Newley, five extra minutes to Bruce, and cover it that way.
Yep.
They've just plugged in this kid who just, you know, bless his heart, just sucked up 15 minutes for very little return.
Yeah, yeah. And then they're still carrying Casper Ware. So they've got all these non-contributors on the floor. And like you said, and then the guy
especially that, scoring contributors. Like they just don't score.
And can you explain to me what was going on with Martin in this game? Because to me, he's looked like a walking bucket in the other games. And it just seemed like he wasn't getting the ball. Like there was none of that mid-range game that he'd shown in other games. Wasn't really getting those baseline cuts. Just did I say something?
No. I was like 9 field goal attempts. Okay. 9. You didn't say anything. I've got here in my notes. I was distracted reading my notes because I was like, "What have you?"
Are you laughing at your own material?
I'm sorry. Yeah, how ego, but there are under 10s girls teams playing more cutthroat offensively than the NBL 21 Sydney Kings. They're so nice. They move the ball and everyone gets their fair turn, and that's why they score 80 points in a loss where a team only scores 85 to beat them.
Yeah.
Can't do it. And Craig Moller. Let's talk about Craig Moller. I got some stats for you. On the season, 2.5 points per game, 4 of 19, 21% from the field. In admittingly only, 3-4 games? But
yeah.
Yikes.
He's joining the Cam Glidden All-Stars as well.
Just not scoring. Just a total... Yeah. Non-factor offensively, you can't. Modern basketball won't allow you to do it.
He should be showing improvement by now. You would have thought he's been playing the game long enough that you would.
He's just a
Warwick Giddey, you know, like he's just a non-factor.
I like him for what he is, but guys got hurt. He's stepping into a new role, and it's just not the mask he should wear. You know, it's just not him. Yeah. He's an energy guy off the bench for rebounds when you need it. the idea of starting, it's just, I don't know. I don't think it's him.
And again, that Sydney offense, how many times does he end up with the ball out at the top of the key?
Well, it's by design. Teams, they need to do it by design.
They need to like rotate it so that he ends up just, you're just in the low block. You're just there to get offensive rebounds and putbacks. Like this, this, you know, continuous motion where he ends up setting a high screen and sort of hanging out up there. It's just a waste of any skill that he can bring to the table, I think.
Exactly. And it puts this greater strain on Casper Ware, who, you know, he's struggling with his own shot. And it's like, well, Moller's on the court. I got to pick it up that little bit more. We've got one less scoring option around me. But that little bit more defensive pressure can suck in on these guys. So Moller's going to be interesting. Do you think he'll be in the starting lineup in their next game, whoever they're playing against?
Yeah, he will be. I don't think they'll change.
They won't change.
No.
Anything else in this game? You got something?
Yeah, Vasiljevic. I just want to say, how fun is it though to see a young Australian scorer? I haven't seen a guy like this since maybe James Harvey. Just a guy who, Chris Golding. Yeah, just a guy that you could just say, right, you're just going to get us buckets, and he's confident. Yeah. You know, such a flamethrower. Really cool to see these young guys coming through. And that's something that we don't produce many of, just like flat out scorers.
Yeah, spot scorers who shoot. Yeah. No, I'm really huge fan of him. We were quite high on him. We were just, all we said in the preseason was he's not as young as you think. He's had 4 years of college, I believe. Nuggety kind of player, and shooting will translate. And he's nuggety. You know, he's got good strength across his shoulders, and it seems to be translating. Yeah. He's shooting really well. Huge fan. So, I mean, and they're struggling to score, so they got to go to him.
Yeah. He might become a real critical player for them. Like, he might become a key player over this.
It'll be interesting to see what Didi does when he comes back. And again, Didi, we were speaking about this just the other week. Like, availability of his is poor, and here he is another month out with an ankle. And I'm sure it's bad, but it's just like, you know, it's just the car just keeps coming back to the shop. Like, I need it on the road. I don't know what to tell you. We're not blaming anyone, but.
Is he an NBA player in your mind?
Well, if he can't handle a 30-game season, how's he going to handle 82 against guys twice as big and fast and strong?
Yeah, because I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing him as NBA worthy.
I mean, he's got all the potential in the world, but got to get on the court, right?
Yep.
Good luck to him.
Okay.
Let's go back one more. This was a great game. Brisbane, Cairns, the Sunshine Stoush. 105-103 in favor of Brisbane. We both picked Cairns to win this one, I think.
Yep. In OT. OT.
In OT, yeah.
Yeah. It was a fun game to watch. Really. Mm. Just great shot making, you know, to bring it to the end of the game. Get OT. Just love that sort of confidence from both teams. Really, really fun. But it's another loss for Cairns, mate.
What are they now? 1-4
1-4 I think 1-4 1-5 Was it 1-5
You talk. I'll check the ladder.
Yeah, they were they're in huge trouble. And what they do, they're fouling and they're not focusing. It's the same problems we talked about earlier. Tight ends they just can't seem to lock in. And really
1-5
get stops. Sorry. Stop whinging. Yeah, it's the same sort of. Lack of mental fortitude, perhaps. They're just, it's not there. And maybe, again, how many times has it been said, are they lacking the toughness that DJ Newball provided?
This is my question.
Even at a cultural level, not just like one more guy on the court, but setting the tone.
I think DJ Newball's a loss, but everyone's lost someone. Okay?
Yep.
You take imports from 3-2, you know, a lot of teams have lost someone. He was a bigger third import contributor than, you know, Melbourne obviously had Prather out, or you know, they had Stanton Kidd and they had Long and they had Trimble. They've only got one import now. So everyone's lost someone. But with Newball, he's definitely a factor. That's just painfully obvious to everyone. But more than that, Cam Oliver, he's just so erratic and knuckleheaded. The giving away the text, the not paying attention on defense. More than pointing the finger at saying, oh, DJ Newball's absence, I point the finger at Scott Machado and Cam Oliver. They're your best players. They are good enough, right? They are good enough. Machado is good enough at finding guys that they can cover Newball. I really do think that. And they're just not doing it. And as I said before, like Cam Oliver's falling in love with the long shot a bit too much.
Yep.
You know, he didn't have an alley oop finish in this game, I don't think, or maybe he did, but just that consistent pop, pick and roll to the basket. He doesn't do it. And you know, the fight, I was watching whether they fell apart after the fight. They kind of didn't. They actually kind of
held
it together, but it was held together by straw. They eventually blown over. So,
and look,
here's a question. Oh, you go.
Yes, if Cam Oliver hadn't fouled out, they probably would have won the game. You know, he's sitting on the bench not contributing.
And he fouled out in the dumbest play where came for an offensive rebound from the three-point arc and just plowed into the back of, I want to say, Vic Law.
Mm.
He was never going to get the rebound. Just stuff like that. Like, you're now the second best player on the team, Cam Oliver. You got to act like it. And he's just, he hasn't been. And, you know, maybe I'm being a bit hard on him because he's put up great stats, but at the same time, it's your team and you're 1-5. You're the second best player on a team that's 1-5.
Yeah. And most of those games have been at home. So, geez, they're going to go on there. They got a lot of road trips coming up. Oh,
geez. But my question is, would you have taken DJ Newball over Scott Machado? So would you rather have Scott Machado and Newball or Cam Oliver and Newball?
You know, I still think the selection's right. You know, I think they went with the two guys that I would have gone with. But I think it's just, I don't think any other combo would have worked as effectively in other ways. So it is what it is. But they need the Australian guys to grow a bit of a spine as well. You know, like they got to stand up and say, we're not taking this.
I'd say this as well. Majuk Deng, the fifth foul, reaching in after a rebound, inexcusable. Inexcusable. And then Kawhi Noi. The runway is set for you to do something, and 11 points, 5 of 13, 3 turnovers.
Yeah.
Not you know, really locking anyone up. And this is a guy who wanted to get drafted in the NBA last year.
Yeah, well, can't see that happening at the moment. Can we flip it over to Brisbane at the moment? Because I've got a question for you. Vic Law, right? Right, we've seen him play the last few games. This one's
kind of awkward, isn't he? Like, the jump shot's kind of awkward, but boy, he makes it work.
It's very rigid. He's very up, straight up and down kind of dude. Keeps his body square. But okay, so you've got Lamar Patterson in last season's form. Okay, so not Lamar Patterson, but Lamar Patterson. Do you want him in Brisbane or do you want Vic Law?
Oh, I still want last year's Patterson.
Okay.
What do you want?
I want Vic Law. I'm loving him. I am like sold. I'm buying stock.
Oh, I'm sold on him. Oh, boy, Patterson was good last year. Patterson was 10 kilos lighter and you know, active. Can't wait to talk about that game. We'll talk about them later.
I'm like to talk, you know, GameStop staff, man. I am diamond hands on Vic Law. I've bought his stock and enough. I'm just holding it.
I'm in love with Patterson just because of the story of sort of the plumper guy who can kind of move people out of the way. I mean, he was terrific last year. It's not like I think you'd agree with me that it's not a huge departure, Law to Patterson. It's a matter of choice. I can see why you take Law, though. Much bigger body, much more. I mean, he's in shape.
Yeah.
And Patterson wasn't in shape last year either. But Vic Law is a specimen. And Nate Sobey.
Sorry. Yeah, I'll jump on. I just want to say Vic Law as well. I feel like the team love him. Like he hit that. He hit the winner. Beautiful, beautiful take, by the way. And they just sort of, they all pile on him. And he's just like, hey, you know, just kind of playing it cool. But it seems like there was a real genuine love for the guy there. I was like, that's nice to see because Brisbane, they've never struck me as a particularly like invested team.
Destination.
Been like, oh, we're just here. We're just playing some basketball, whatever. Now this season, they seem like they
love it, man. It's Sobey and Law late. Sobey kind of coast quarters 1 through 3. And then it's him and Law just attacking the hoop and doing everything. They were so fun to watch, those two.
Yep.
And Sobey worked hard. He slapped that ball out of bounds, I want to say, late in the piece, saving points. Unbelievable. Orlando Johnson, 32 minutes, 6 points. The glove don't fit. you got to quit. It ain't working. He's just not. It's not happening for OJ. It's no.
Okay.
He's more Ron Goldman than OJ right now. not happening.
Yeah, we're adding him to the Cam Glidden team.
I'm going to give him a bit chance because he is carrying an injury. He hurt. Yeah, apparently. Came into the year with some sort of problem. So, okay, all right. What's the diagnosis? When can we expect return? Because I'll be standing there with my watch going, you know, Yeah. Injury time is up.
Yep.
Harry Froling went to the bench. Tyrell Harrison started over him, only played the 10 minutes. To his credit, gave something in the minutes he gave, but when they made that big run, he was up, he was flapping towels and stuff. I was really worried looking at this game when they said he'd gone to the bench. I saw him dropping his head. Didn't happen. So
yeah,
somewhat encouraging.
Yep. And they did this without Drimmick as well.
Yeah, good point.
So
that's a good point. Has my question for you, and we'll end on this if we haven't got anything else, but has Mike Kelly lost this team? I just don't see any, I see zero communal focus and zero commitment to the cause. When it got a bit tight, it was Machado won out. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you could be onto something here. I wonder if Mike Kelly...
They're bitching so much. He's bitching all the time at the ref.
He seems a really nice guy and kind of unflappable. It's like, maybe that's a problem. You know, maybe this is a team that needs a rocket and they're not getting it. I don't know. It's just an outsider's observation. But sometimes I wonder if they need...
So much.
They just need somebody, a coach, to come in and say, enough of the BS, you know. Pull your fingers out.
And mean it.
Yeah. And we're going to run some suicides at training this week, you know? Like,
just Cam Oliver, old school
stuff.
Say to Cam Oliver, like, if you're just going to bitch the whole time, sit down, big Nate, in you go.
Yeah.
And be have the guts to do it, because right now they're just pissing and moaning, and it's pissing me off.
Yeah.
The word I had for them was they combusted. They combusted in this game. And if we go back to the next game we're looking at, Perth, Southeast Melbourne, it's another C word to describe this. This was a choke. Now, choke is a big word in sports. People don't like to throw it around. My question to you to start with this game is, did Jesse Wagstaff choke as it stands to your definition of choke?
No, he didn't choke. Oh, it was
Andrew Kennedy. Sorry, I'm interrupting. What did he do then?
He missed badly. He missed really badly. Right.
Oh dear! Why use five words when you can use one? Missed really badly with the game on the line. That's the Webster Dictionary of
definition. Since this field goal, I've been watching other games with a Wagstaff filter on, and even today the Melbourne Southeast Melbourne game, there were a lot of missed layups in that, and I was like, well, you know. Everybody misses layups, right? And he was shooting with his left hand, okay? Left hand layup.
Andrew, I'm coming in here. I think it was a choke. I think it most definitely was a choke as before. And there's nothing wrong with choking. Sometimes you choke. You don't mean to choke. You swallow a chicken bone, you're choking. It happens. But when that play happened, he didn't want the ball. He caught it, he didn't want it. He did not want to be there. It just... Obviously,
why would he not want to be there? He's the captain. He's played for 350 games. He's done it all. Like, he hit that ridiculous three earlier in the game.
Yeah, but Ernest Hemingway, grace under pressure. Okay, that's what it's all about. Everyone can hit threes. Everyone can hit layups. You and I get in a layup line, we won't miss one. But it's grace under pressure. It's about
He wasn't under any pressure. He was the only guy in the Kiwi.
He was under emotional pressure. The Vlahov, the Red Army, the chance to win it. And he bottled it, man. And I feel bad for him. I'm not rubbing it in. I'm just giving my definition. But you didn't see it as a choke. I do. I'm happy to agree to disagree on that.
I don't want to be careful. I'm not defending Jesse Wagstaff. You should make that layup, okay?
Or at least hit the rim. He went over. I'm not laughing at him. Listen, it's a highlight for the ages. That will always be brought up. It will always be a part of his life from now on.
You
may as well learn to laugh about it. I'm so sorry, Jesse Wagstaff.
It was a shocker. And the fact, what made it worse is that the play that they ran to get in that position was such a brilliant play. And that playbook is now up. Throw that in the bin because everybody's going to scout it now.
It's blown.
It's like, oh, so good.
I want to say something. I had a good interaction with a guy on Twitter. Guys, I've got it here. Guy's name is Barry Gibson. Hello, Barry, if you're listening.
Hey, is he Barry Gibson as in like the singer Barry Gibson from the high pitched dudes. Bee Gees.
Community footy manager. That's Barry Gibb.
He could
be Barry Gibb's son. I don't doubt it though. The age
that joke fell flat.
I thought it was good. But anyway, we had check and forth about whether, because I put up a tweet. It was a bit much. I regret doing it. I've been drinking at the time. Expect the unexpected. Wagstaff, the C in captain, must stand for choke. That's just not funny. It's not helping anyone. Is anybody here a doctor? And then a picture of the Heimlich maneuver. It was wrong. I'm not taking it down, but at the same time, it's just a dickhead tweet. I don't know.
I think we all do stupid things on Twitter. And look, I'm guilty of it as well. You know, probably did a couple, put a couple of tweets out
today. Twitter is a joke.
And you try and laugh about it. Sometimes your jokes don't come out the way you intend them to.
Yeah. And the tone is lost.
Yeah.
But I will say, I stand by it, man. This was, and the reason why I'm comfortable calling it a choke is in about the third quarter or so, Gleeson was chewing the ear off the umpire referee.
Yep.
And the guy had his hands up and goes, listen, Trevor, I know what my job is. You do yours.
Uh-huh.
And listen, Jesse Wagstaff's job, especially as captain, is to make those shots. And he didn't make it. He didn't want it. And that's, you step out of an Uber, you rate the guy 1 to 5 stars. The moment you step out of the Uber, Jesse Wagstaff, that is his job. If yeah. Trevor's going to hop on about a referee about it, man, that's just, you know, no one was like, I was kind of, what did you think of the reaction? When some people were sort of very like, oh, you know, Jesse Wags, you know, he's still a champion and stuff. I felt that was sort of pandering. Pandas belong in the zoo, not on Twitter. What do you think?
I think I would have liked to have heard from him.
In the press conference?
Yeah, in the press conference or at some point, just to say like, and maybe he would say, yeah, I choked. You know, like at least own it. And say, yep. I could have won that game and I didn't. And there's many things that we could have improved in that game. But the thing that would have been the most improvement was making a layup.
And that defense of, oh, but, you know, you hit the shot before. I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. When the game's there, that's
– yeah.
He did lose that game. I know you can qualify it 1,000 times, but
– you know, the more I think about it, the more I think about it and you explain it and I consider my definition of choke – maybe it was a choke. Jesse?
You stay with your definition. It's fine. It's really okay.
But I don't want to be seen as a homer, you know? Like, I don't want everybody, oh, you're just a member of the Red Army, you are, whatever. No, like, you should have made the shot. I'm just thinking about, understanding of choke is, was it that? That's a
layup. Yes, was it? What is your definition
of choke? It was a lefty layup. Come on, off a roll, sort of.
He had time to take a 2-foot double bounce, bunny hop type thing and pop.
Yeah, I think he expected more defensive pressure than he got.
Of course he did, but he didn't want it, man.
Yeah.
And Boddy said in his article, and he put it best, some people relish that moment, some people find it hellish. And I think we can all agree that it was hellish. Anyway, let's jump on from that. One thing I want to say on that final play, though, is
what a shame he can't dunk.
And what a shame he can't dunk, number one. Number two as well is a bit of heart from Trevor Gleeson. Trevor Gleeson, who knew? Like, you know that scene in The Simpsons where Mr. Burns' heart beats for the first time and it's the shriveled blackened thing? There's an emotional pulse in Perth. I thought they were just ruthless. That play, it should have been the inbound. It went to Mooney. It should have gone to Wagstaff, who was turning, and it should have been Mooney to catch and dunk off the fake pick and roll to the hoop. But Trevor Gleeson, moment the theater got to him, and he's like, no, as to do this one, Red Army, Vlahov, the milestone, Jesse, we're running the play for you. And it's good. It's good it happened now, because now he's realized, oh, hang on, we've got two players who we can rely on.
Yeah.
Cotton and Mooney, and the rest are accessories, handy accessories, great players, but it's those two guys.
Yeah.
And Trevor... wake up call.
Yeah.
I have a question here for you.
Okay.
Are you any more convinced of Southeast Melbourne after this win?
No, they got lucky. They got lucky on a choke. And before that, they gave away a foul that didn't get called, the grab around the waist.
Oh, Ben Moore. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Fair enough. Everybody is lucky. They're good on them. They also got a career game out of Cam Glidden. I think he knocked down a couple of threes in this game. So
yeah, double digit points. He did indeed. 12 or 13 points.
So amazing, amazing stuff. I'm not convinced. I think they're still heavily, heavily reliant on Kiefer Sykes and Mitch Creek.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, Well, it's a bad thing when they don't use Mitch Creek. So Mitch Creek got going in that third quarter, right? And that was when at that point I'm convinced. It's like, if you can play like this all the time, dude, like, you can take this league by storm. But it just seems like he's been so passive.
Did he injure his ankle in this game? Yeah, he did. This is the one we injured.
Which is a bummer, because like, maybe if he hadn't done that, they would have stormed all over Perth, actually.
You like Sykes? Who do you like more, Mooney or Sykes?
Oh, man.
While you're thinking, I'll answer. I like Mooney. I really like him. For that team, the rebounding, he's got a better shot than we thought. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go the same way.
Sykes just seems to struggle in traffic that wee bit, don't you think?
Yeah. Yep.
He's very short.
He's really short. To be fair, in the game today, he hit a ridiculous
that giant killer. Oh my god, that crazy one touched the rough. That had dust on it when it went through the net. Yeah, but he's great. But yeah.
But Mooney, really, really good. Just endeavor, just constant endeavor, doing the dirty work. They're asking Wildcats asking too much Bryce Cotton. He's playing 40 minutes. He's playing 40 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know what he had in this one. You have 40 some and then 38 the day before. The other thing I've got here is Kevin White. What? What's he doing there? He can't give you backup minutes, bless his heart. He can't do it.
I question that signing.
I remember you saying,
please, I did question it. Like, really? And we're not even going to get the dirt on the Wildcat season, anymore. Because Kevin White apparently is switched up. He's not using WhatsApp anymore. He's switched to Signal. So, yeah, we're not going to get the inside word.
Now, that's just whatever. I doubt he's not invited to any Wildcat chat. He couldn't get on Cat Chat if he wanted to. but, yeah, they've got, Blanchfield, body again. Body Nodge. .com, go to his blog, read it. It's the best run-up of each game. But the Blanchfield one-handed push shot, holster that one.
Please, yes.
It's like the Statue of Liberty shot, but it's the huddled masses. It's the tired, it's poor, it's hungry. It's no, it's no good.
I don't know why Lazarus
to draw the line, like, nah, don't want it.
Why does he carry on with that shot? And it's on the way down. He doesn't release it until he's going down.
Exactly. On the way down.
Bad on every level. I understand it.
Anything else from this one?
No.
No. All right. Cairns Hawks, 20-point thrashing, 70-90 in favor of the men from Wollongong. Jessup and Harvey, 40 points combined, 8 of 11 from the outside.
Mm.
We were just in awe of it, Jessup. I think I called you soon after. I said, Jessup, this guy is a freak. 6'6", shoots it. He's got the best action in the league.
Yep.
Best action.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can't believe they call him a next star, because he is not. He's a star now. No. He's import. He's import level. So Cairns are pretty lucky. They've basically got three imports. Because Jessup is just phenomenal.
He can shoot it, and had the one bad game, and since then has been really, really good.
Yep.
Looking at Cairns, conversely, 10 of 35 from the outside. They just blaze away. Machado's guilty of it. When they need a bucket, he kind of looks for it too much. But also only 7 free throw attempts, 13 turnovers compared to 7. Just outworked. Not attacking the basket, not taking care of the ball. Simple shit with Cairns. It's the same thing all through the round, all through the season so far.
Yep.
Harvey King.
Yeah, he hardly saw any. Oh, no, it was the other game he hardly saw any time. This game he got a bit of time, but he's not doing it, is he? He showed so much good form in the preseason games that they played. Whatever's happened, it's not working for him. And he's kind of unplayable.
Cairns, are they in unfixable trouble? We spoke about it a little bit before, but they're 1-5. Now they're gone on the road. Can they make the 4 from here? Seriously.
I don't think they can. I think they've dug too deep a hole, and I'm looking at who's above them. Like, Illawarra are looking amazing. Hard to see them missing. Same with Melbourne. Perth, I think, is still it's 2 games in, so kind of who knows. Then you've got Brisbane, possibly.
Brisbane are a real.
They could really.
Cairns have beaten Brisbane, have they? Or no, they've beaten Cairns.
So, look, yeah, I mean, it's still. It's just that they've played so many more games and home games than everybody else. So it's kind of hard because it's a weird season, but I worry for them.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how they stopped the skid either. You saw Fabian Krizlovic come into the lineup. You saw him exit the lineup last night. Majuk in, out. Bit more Jared Kenny at times. Yep. Like, there's the talents there, and I'm really upset for them because here's the other thing as well I want to say. Machado and Oliver have signed two-year deals. This is their team, you know, going forward, unless the import rules change. This is kind of it.
Yep.
But Noy and Deng, those two have to sit down, look at each other and go, who's going to be the third guy?
Yeah, that's it. I thought Noy was going to be that impact Australian sort of player this season, but he's just not. He's not doing it. It's a real disappointment.
And Mike Kelly seems to have gone away from Nate Juai. He just doesn't get the time. And when he is, last year when he was on, it was like, really feed the big guy. This year, they're looking him off, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't
know what's going on. No, and I'm, relationship's interesting there. I'd like to be on the ground. Conversely, AJ Ogilvy, he's just turned his career around.
Yep.
I thought it was, the numbers don't show. He was fantastic.
Oh, he's excellent. Gorgian's just like, whatever he said. Was it this game that AJ dove on a ball? It's like, what is going on? He's just incredible. Even his beard's looking better this year. Like, everything about AJ Ogilvy is...
Beard line is looking better.
Yeah, you know, it's just improved. Gorgian, I don't know how he does it, man. I want to know what that's... That man's not even basketball coaching.
Everyone's like, oh, this is starting to bug me a bit. Oh, Gorgian, how does it... Oh, Brian Gorgian. Here's how he does it. He goes out and he gets Tyler Harvey, who's a really good player.
Yeah.
He uses the next star and gets Jessup. He looked at his roster and thought, yeah, Sam Frolling and Ogilvy will do.
Yep.
And he says, yeah, I can get enough out of them. Mm. And then went and got three. I mean, those imports, Harvey, Simon and Jessup. I'm calling Jessup an import.
Yep.
They're the three best. Just the best combination so far.
Yeah.
He's recruited well. And then runs a simple offense and has, you know, enough sort of cred in this league to say, if you don't play, I'm not going to play you. And that goes your career. End of contract. And that's it. So
yeah.
I actually see the blueprint pretty easy on things. But you've done press conferences with him. Like, you know how charismatic he is, how energetic he is. You know, he's great.
Yeah, and that's where I see him as a real great, almost like leader of men, if you want to put it something like that. The way I imagine he has an individualized sort of approach to every single player. I reckon he knows what makes them tick. He
lives it.
Yeah, it's just like I could just see him like analyzing the psychology of every guy and thinking, what buttons do I need to push on this dude?
Disagree. I look at that team and I don't think I think it's very inward out. I don't think he reaches into these guys at all. I think he sets an incredibly high standard. And I'd like to see him behind closed doors. I see him as the Gordon Ramsay of basketball. I think he'd be like, this is the way it's going to be. This is going to be better for you. I think he's an ultimate salesman.
Yeah.
And he gets people to buy into his philosophy. And it is mutually beneficial for sure.
Yeah.
But he's got it going. But I want to actually make a departure here. Joey Wright is a favorite coach of mine. Still no talk of him sort of in Adelaide getting the number or whatever you want to call it put up. No talk about the Basketball Hall of Fame. Yeah, this is a guy who, and the reason why I bring it up with Gorgian is, you know, Gorgian. Yeah. Oh my gosh, Brian Gorgian. Joey Wright could sign with the team and everyone would be like, oh, Joey Wright. You know, he's only won a billion games. He's only taken teams outside Perth, Sydney and Melbourne to the grand final. He's coached on teams that have gone dead. But no talk, you know, you put the two up against each other and it's just no conversation. Not, you know, Gorgian, it's like, oh, we need a Boomers coach. Brian Gorgian can't reel him in soon enough. Joey Wright wouldn't even get the phone call. You know what I mean? I think Joey Wright, I feel bitter on his behalf.
Mm.
If I can just say that, because there's not the same adoration.
No, there isn't.
I think that's unfair. Rant over. Happy to move on to Adelaide, New Zealand. There's a big one.
Yes. Okay. Adelaide, New Zealand.
Were you in the press conference with me?
Yeah.
You asked a question.
Did I? No, I didn't. No. I can't remember now. We were gonna
commentate this one for Twitch. This is the one we wanted to do for Twitch. Yeah, but it didn't happen.
Because we did the Gorgian conference with the
Cairns
Illawarra was Gorgian, where you asked the question of the
about the Diet Coke.
Diet Cokes. Great
that
question.
That was me.
Great question. You
know, it got clipped up on the socials, but who's counting these things? Adelaide, New Zealand. Adelaide winning this one 88-78.
Yep.
Was this their? This was their second loss to them, right? Am I remembering this correctly?
Oh, geez. Now, you check the documentation. I'll just say
this is their second loss.
This is where I start to get into the round. And this round, even like, okay, we're right back at game two of this round now. And my memory, I've made notes. I make notes as I go with these games because I'm realizing my memory sucks these days. I've got a few dot points. Even my dot points, I'm reading them and going like, okay, Andrew, you must have thought something at the time, but I can hardly remember it.
I remember it well because obviously I asked the question of Shamir. I was like, and I'll ask you this. So I asked that question. I said, are you happy with his conditioning? What did you think of his response and his body language?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yep. Yep. It was a great question. I love the fact it wasn't a softball, and I feel like I'm giving you too many props here now, but I'll just say
I quite like it.
His answer was interesting. And he said,
Lamar Patterson's very good player. I'm very happy to coach him.
Dreamt of coaching a player like him. Wonderful. It's not what he said. It's how he said it. And more to the point, it was Corey Webster's vibe that I picked up as that question was going. He's sort of holding onto his mouth and sort of looking around. I just thought, well, there's something. He's pissed. They're both pissed.
Here.
Yep.
When you asked the question, I think it was after Southeast Melbourne's first game, or maybe second game, when Glidden and Tarangi, and you asked of Simon Mitchell and Kiefer Sykes, are you sort of pondering, like, why is the wing production not good? And if you remember, before you'd even finished the question, because you kind of went like, the wing production has been down. Is that a concern? There was a pause break in between asking the question.
Yeah.
And in between that pause break, they heard the production on the wing is down. Both of those two guys started shaking their head.
Yeah.
They were prepared and ready to defend Cam Glidden and Tarangi.
Yep.
Right? You could see it in their body language. When I asked that question, Corey Webster wanted no part of it. He didn't want to jump in. He didn't want to say anything. And Shamir started laughing when I finished asking. He goes, you know, yeah, and I could just tell he was like, we'd thought about this. And he's a straight shooter. And at the end, he did say, listen, we're not there as a team yet.
Yep.
And that to me is, I was about to say to him, so yes or no. I wasn't going to do that. That's too much. But I just got a really strong no vibe from both of them.
Yeah.
Not happy.
And look, I saw Ty Wesley take his shirt off at one point during either this game or one of the earlier games.
Webster.
I keep saying Wesley, don't I? That's twice I've done that now. Year. Webster.
How many teams could use Ty Wesley right now? Jeez.
Oh, man. But yeah, Ty Webster, man, that guy has like six packs for days, right?
Oh, he's in.
So how annoyed would you be if you're him and you're ripped, you're ready to go, and then like Lamar rolls in eating a donut? You know, going, I should be right by about round 12.
And also, complaining about quarantine standards on Instagram and things like.
Oh, was he?
You know, okay. I'm not in that camp. I don't know, but.
He was doing
not the NBL's conditions, the government conditions.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So, you know, all these little bits of evidence kind of piling up. And then the performance, like a donut, figuratively, literally, zero. Lamar Patterson. This guy's co-MVP almost.
Has he ever had a 0 point game before that?
No,
don't know.
Not even close. And I want to, Patterson, I mean, and when people say, oh, well, he did this last season and got into shape, this is not last season. This is a whole new thing with games coming out of nowhere. This postponement really helps them and allows him to kind of get on the stationary bike. But they're not happy. And people saying, oh, that he was in this kind of shape. No, he is in much worse shape. Pardon me. He's in much worse shape than he was last year.
But he's getting, I do. And he's getting paid from day one, right? This is his job, okay? So you got to perform from day one because you're getting the paycheck. You know, like they don't start paying you in round 12 once you're in game shape. They're paying you now. Yeah, and all the games, wins and losses count the same. Doesn't matter if it happens in round 12 or now. Like you need to be ready to go. And he's not.
And also, he's now on the treadmill. I'll rephrase that. He's now on the run trying to lose weight. That's a great way you blow your knee out. Perfect way. We've seen so many players come in heavy, work off the weight, and break down three quarters of the way through the season. Yeah. Happens all the time in the NBA, all the time in every league. It's soccer, football, basketball, non-exclusive. Here's the difference. And you said it well, like they're paying him from day one. And here's the big difference where people say, oh, but, you know, last year in Brisbane, there's a key ingredient that's very different from last year. Last year, Brisbane Bullets, much lower expectation, far more laissez-faire team. And Lemanis. Lemanis is a chop wood, carry water coach. Patient. See out the process. Mm. Oh, Ken Glidden, not shooting well, but he's getting good looks. same answer. A lot of impressions this time out. Same, just the process, you know, patient. Dan Shamir. Not a patient person. That's not his style. He's we pay you Lamavetasan. He wants results, and that's the difference. It took. Remember when Lemanis benched Patterson about three quarters of the way through last year?
Yeah,
that was how long it took Lemanis to go. Lamar, we're not happy.
Yeah,
it took him that long. It's not even halfway through the second game, and Shamir's like, "F this."
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the difference. When people say, oh, last year, no, I say very different situations for sure.
So I think New Zealand Breakers, one of the must-watch TV ones, just for all that byplay, just watch it and see how it all plays out. I'm going to be watching with interest.
And I think, and it's clear to me that, we've said before, they're pissed off at Lamar Patterson's conditioning. And as a result, he got looked off in this game. Absolutely. There were looks he had was open. He didn't get the ball. It's all one flowing onto the other. And I'll ask you this question. Who's in greater trouble, Cairns or New Zealand?
Ooh. I'm still going to say Cairns just by virtue of them having played four more games and home games as well.
Five. You know, so they've played what? They've played four more games and lost three. Yeah, like that's – I have grave concerns for New Zealand. I didn't have them in the top four coming in for this exact reason. But they can turn around. They've still got super talent. But – going on what getting off of my Patterson because we've railed that guy enough. And we are fans of his game when he's on, but the Webster brothers in this game, Ty Webster had 15 points, Corey Webster 17. They went they took a total of 25 field goal attempts, 7 turnovers, 13 of 25 combined for 7 turnovers. Their usage rate combined is 58.4. So that's two guys. Now, this stat is a little bit skewed because Corey Webster missed that first game with the hand. But gee, I even with that sort of imbalance in the mathematics, I still feel like that would be a relatively accurate representation of how much those two use the basketball.
Yeah.
And you look at it, only 11 assists as a team. They had more turnovers than assists. This ball sticks. Yep. It doesn't move. Yep. And especially with Ty Webster, who loves to get his, and that's fine. But when they had Sec Henry last year, it was, you know, he was sweet shooting. He had great poise. It's just a very different team. I don't like the look of this team.
Mm, yeah, you're right. It's very the dribble heavy. Yeah, I think you imagine Connor Henry. Oh, totally. Can you imagine Connor Henry at a timeout yelling at these dudes over dribbling like crazy?
I think I know what it'd say. Anything else from on the Breakers or Adelaide? We've kind of neglected them. I feel like they've been very fortuitous. I'm not taking anything away from them, but as I said, let's see them on the road. Did you see anything from Adelaide in this one that you want to highlight?
Only that I'd noticed that they were starting to really find some level of improvement, certainly on the earlier games. It was just that, they're starting to figure it out. But still, I don't think they haven't been challenged yet by a top team. And that will, they've been beaten. When they played a top team, they've been beaten because they got beaten by Melbourne, right?
You would say they've improved since then. But, you know, let's see what happens when they come up against a full-strength team.
Yep.
First game of the round, the last one we're going to go through, Brisbane Sydney. I barely remember it. I'm just going to be honest.
Yep.
90-87, Sydney falling in this one.
This was the
Sorry.
Yeah. This is the one that Didi got injured.
Rolled
the ankle. And also Tyrell Harrison played great in this game. It's like, wow, this guy's just like, he was pretty hopeless last year from my memory. And it's like he's been in the Brisbane big man training camp.
They seem to do this. Rangy, long, lanky bigs. They kind of got an assembly line of them.
Yeah.
My first dot point I want to play this one for you. Whose place in his team's starting lineup is less secure, Harry Froehling or Craig Moller? And, well, the answer is Froehling, because then he came out of the starting lineup later in the round. So that question's kind of answered. But
well, you read it well, though. Yes, he it's like he seems to enjoy playing against his brother, but nobody else.
I think also just Lemanis the whole time when he's on the court. He's always telling him to rebound. And Lemanis just mustn't be pleased because he's coming out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Sobey got one little hitch in this. Sobey got very active in the fourth, kind of froze out Vic Law a little bit, was a little too eager to score. What do you think, if you can recall?
Oh, I can hardly remember, but I'm going to put it down to like just anxiety to get it done. Seeing them in the next game, the subsequent game, didn't seem to be any bad blood. I think maybe just figuring stuff out still. I'm going to say I'm loving this, like, as much as Kadee, God, he's so frustrating, but I like the fact that he's running the point basically now, freeing up Sobey. Like, why they didn't do this last year, I still don't understand. Like, Sobey is just such a better player when he's attacking the rim.
Oh, he looked great, especially the second one. This one as well, but especially the second one.
He's so athletic. Yeah, it's quick.
He attacks the hoop so well. Yeah. And the other thing as well, he is as good in the fourth quarter as his hair is bad in the fourth quarter. I've never seen a haircut deteriorate worse through the, like, toward the end of the game. It's sticking out on the side. It's swooping over here. He's got to trim that up. It's not working for him. Casper Ware at the line. This is the one we missed some foul shots. I think he had three and only made one.
That's right. Yes, yes.
You remember this now? We spoke about choke with Jesse Wagstaff. Is that a choke, or do you remember it as a choke?
Yeah, it was almost on par for Casper Ware these days. But I'm calling it a choke. But if I'm calling that a choke, I've got to call Jesse Wagstaff a choke.
Everything's
all right.
Let's say it was missed free throws. I'm happy to. What bugs me as well is he did the press conference after the loss to Adelaide later in the round.
Yep.
And no one asked him. No one said, like, hey, the shooting's down. What's up? We all want to know the answer to that question. Didn't get asked.
This is.
I don't know if I would have, or we would have asked it if we were there, but probably. Casper Ware, the free throw shooting. One of my rationales for it might be too muscular in the arms. His traps really pop off his arms, and as a result, he kind of pushes the ball through a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I'm seeing things that aren't there, but
man, I wish I could relate to that problem.
Yeah, right. The
bane of my existence is having a little spaghetti tubes for arms. Man, love
Casper, better work it out. I like Casper, but that team's what's their record now? Look at the record quickly, and then they're 1-3 with injuries.
Yeah. Not good. They're hanging around. I'm not going to write them off.
They're not 1-5.
No, that's true.
Illawarra, top of the pops.
Yep.
Played 4, won 4. Melbourne, 3-3. Followed by Adelaide. They've played 6.
Yep.
4-2. They won their home game.
Fool's gold.
A little bit. Perth in the fourth spot, and then Brisbane, South East Melbourne, Sydney, Cairns, New Zealand. I mean, that to me, Adelaide, Perth are in. Adelaide is the shaking room. So that Adelaide, Brisbane, and I do feel South East Melbourne are right there. They're the fourth spot contenders, I feel.
If South East Melbourne can fix Cam Glidden, they're away.
They need 15 points of consequence out of him at the right time, at the right percentage, and they're in.
Yep.
That's all they need, because they've got 8 home games coming up in the bubble, and that's critical.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the COVID stuff going on, Perth in the lockdown. On a scale of 1 to 10, how sort of scared are you about the league and the schedule going forward and that?
Well, luckily it's Perth that's getting locked down, because you know you can run a league without the West Coast being part of the action. And the fact that apparently Perth have like jetted out, I think they're jetting out tomorrow morning or something to get out of here.
Or even early tonight. Yeah. Like we're recording quite late. Yep.
So, I'm not particularly worried yet, but if there's another outbreak in another state, all bets are off.
I mean, the hub can't come soon enough. I think the NBL thinks like that. Let's quickly go through next round's games and then we'll jump out of here.
Yeah.
First game's on Thursday. So we're recording this Monday morning, Sunday night.
Yep.
Brisbane, Melbourne, at Brisbane.
Should be a fun game, actually.
Great game.
This is surprising. I wouldn't have said that last week, but now I'm pumped for it. And if you want, are we doing tips? Can we give tips?
Do tips.
All right. I'm going to go Brisbane. Yeah, Brisbane.
Ooh, fun. I'm going Melbourne.
Okay.
For sure. I'm quite confident of that as well, but let me just write these down so we know. Next one.
Well, Perth, New Zealand has been cancelled, right? That's cancelled. That's not happening.
So. Cairns and Brisbane at Cairns.
I'm going to go Brisbane getting the double and putting Cairns in the vice.
No.
Yep. It's going to be. Wow. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun because Cairns at that point are going to freak out.
That takes them to 1-6. That's this season.
Yep.
Oh.
What are you? Who have you got? You go.
I'm going Cairns. They're too talented. They've been kicked in the mouth. I like this team. I like Scott Machado too much.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about it. Let's jump on. I don't want to think about it. Adelaide, Sydney. In Adelaide. How many times Adelaide? Jesus.
Groundhog Day. Jeez, we've done this one before, haven't we?
What do you think?
I think Adelaide again. I think.
I can't believe this. I think Adelaide as well. How is Sydney going to score over 90 points?
Yeah, exactly.
My answer is maybe if they kind of go with like a Jordan Hunter, Martin, Vasiljevic, Casper Ware newly line up. That's their best five, I think.
Yeah.
And maybe a bit of DD action when he gets better. That's their path to putting up enough points to win a professional basketball game. Until such a time, nah, don't have faith in it.
Yeah.
Next one, Southeast Melbourne and the Hawks. Ooh.
Oh, it's been a little while. Hawks rested. They didn't really. It's been a while rested since they played. And
it's in Melbourne, but rested they are.
I'm going to go with the Hawks to stay on top.
As am I. I just think the Hawks are a team that punish mistakes, and you would say that the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix are the most accident-prone team in the league.
Yep.
They just, other than Cairns, they're the second most accident-prone team in the league, and there are lapses on defense, gaps, and the Hawks will just eat you alive if you do that.
Yep.
Is this one going to go ahead on Sunday? Melbourne are hosting Perth Wildcats.
Well, what? The Wildcats... Well, they'll probably have to do some sort of quarantine, I would expect. I don't know. But I have no idea, but let's assume it will go ahead for the sake of tipping. Melbourne, Perth. I'm gonna say Melbourne.
Really? I'm going Perth.
Really?
I sure am.
Wow.
Bryce Cotton. I mean, they've got Ely and McCarron to throw at him, but didn't work last year.
Oh, I think the Jock Landale, Jack White. JLA triple threat.
I think Jack White comes back down to earth a little bit. Just, Wildcats, a bit scary. You know, he's not scoring 20 again, tell you that much. Because, who's Jack White lining up on? He's either going to play against John Mooney or the crafty Wagstaff. I don't like him in either matchup.
Really? I expect him to play all over Jesse Wagstaff. I think he could destroy Wagstaff. I
see Wagstaff just...
Just flopping a few times, drawing a couple of cheap charges.
But Cotton in Melbourne, you just kind of the wave off game.
Yeah.
Bryce Cotton, for heaven's sake. I'm not confident about it. Next one, Cairns and New Zealand.
Games just keep on coming, don't they? Jeez, this is a tough one to tip. Jeez.
I'm going Cairns. While you think about it, I'm going Cairns. I think this team turns around and makes the four, so I have to pick them. And New Zealand, I think, are very combustible. I see the flicker of a spark.
Oh, jeez. I don't even want to tip this one, but I'm going to go New Zealand Breakers. I can't believe this, what I'm doing to Cairns here. I'm putting them in the basement.
You're telling me that a team with Scott Machado and Cam Oliver is going to be 1-8.
I am.
One and seven, pardon me.
I know. It doesn't make sense to me either. I don't know what I'm doing,
I just feel like, is the time off a good thing for the Breakers or a bad thing for the Breakers?
Yeah.
I think it's a bad thing. Yeah. I think they needed to be on the court really quick after that game. Not too quick, but a relative time. The fact they're going to miss that game against Perth, should have been played tonight.
Yep.
I thought that was their chance to kind of build momentum, and as a result,
I tell you what, it's a good thing that they thought they had COVID, and turns out they didn't. Because if they'd come to Perth, they might not have gotten out again. It would have been a real, very awkward situation. So it's kind of worked out in their favour.
And I think they would have come away with an L as well.
Yeah.
0-3. Oh, just hang on. Today, NBL Facts, must follow on Twitter. He's just put something up a little while ago. Today was the first time in Melbourne United history they played a NBL game with no imports scoring any points. That's in 189 games played. Scotty Hobson, 0 points, 0-8.
Wow.
Good stat. I think we're out of here, Andrew.
One other thing. On the telecast I noticed today, they highlighted DMAC on the coaching bench of Melbourne United. They made a big deal about, look at DMAC helping out, assistant coach. What a great thing. He used to be the head coach. Has everybody just forgotten that?
Not me. And I don't think him either.
Jeez. So, yeah. Yeah, just thought, credit where it's due.
That's it. For the pod, we're going to try and slam these out as quick as we can. It's crazy turnaround. Oh, Marvelous. Buy a copy of that. Links in the description. I've only got 8 left. They're signed. They're in great condition. $30-something. And you've got your own piece of great history. I was going to actually read a piece about it, about Gorgon. If Gorgon's all in the press, about how he let Brett Maher train with the Sydney Kings when Brett Maher's son was in a bad way. That's a really touching little story. Gives you a real insight into Brian Gorgon. Next time, that's in the future. Anything else, Andrew?
Watch a game. Watch it when we're on Twitch, because it's more fun that way.
Cool.
That's all I got.
And then join us for the press conference. If you have questions that you want to ask coaches and players for the press conference, we are the funnel of the fan, the conduit of the fan. Most of our questions we do source from the chat on Twitch, and also messages we get, and we look at Twitter and Facebook and things like that, and email. So if you have a question for us, by all means, and then we will cite it. I'll say, I am such and such. This question comes on behalf of ...
Yeah. You, the listener. You, the viewer. You.
Kinda cool.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. All right, Andrew.
All right.
See you, everyone.
It's been good chat.